mother. Hello, father. Here I am at Camp Granada. Camp is very entertaining. And they say we'll have some fun if it stops raining. I went hiking with Joe Spivey. He developed poison ivy. You remember?
Summer Camp. Written by Giggling Cat. Read by Euphoric Aria. Why are you doing this? Dean asked. Why are you destroying our family? John tried not to laugh. Dean, I'm not destroying our family. I'm sending you to summer camp. You'll only be gone a week. But I don't wanna! There were times when his 7-year-old son was mature beyond his years. This was not one of those times. John took it as encouragement. After a couple of rough years, Dean seemed to be coming out of his shell. He had made a friend in school. It was the first real connection that John could recall since Mary's death. It had opened up something in Dean that John was not going to let die without a fight. So when Rock's parents had mentioned the summer camp was still open, John enrolled Dean. He was slightly surprised by the reaction. I thought you liked Mark, he said. Don't you want to spend a week with your buddy? Dean's eyes fell. But what about you and Sammy? John's chest tightened. We'll be fine for a week. You'll see. Once you're there, you'll forget all about us. Please, John thought. Please let this be normal homesickness. Day 1. Father and Sons. John knew that first morning there was trouble. Dean clung to his leg and stopped talking. John knew that silence was not golden where Dean was concerned. But Tom, the camp counselor, had wisely gotten Mark to take Dean to the campsite. Rather than lose face with his friend, Dean had settled for giving longing looks over his shoulder at John and Sam. Tom and Mark's mother, Gail, commented on it. "Did you see that look?" asked Tom with a chuckle. "Let me guess," Gail said to John. "You are the worst father ever for sending your son to camp. You should start saving now for the years of therapy that will be needed to overcome this trauma." John felt relief wash over him. "So that's all normal." The others started laughing. "Summer camp is just like the first day of school," Gail assured him. "They act like you're killing them, but in the end it's you that's heartbroken." Sam piped up from his perch on John's shoulders. "Dean!" Gail and Tom looked up with respect at the volume. Gail looked slightly concerned. "Uh-oh, did someone not understand?" she addressed Sam. "Dean is going camping, honey. He's going to stay here." John couldn't see Sam's face, but judging by the look on Gail's, Sam was not appeased. John began the awkward shuffle to get Sam off his shoulders. Sure enough, the realization that Dean was going somewhere else was setting in, and Sam began actively squirming. John nearly lost him, twice. "No! Get Dean!" Sam was now trying to get to the ground to go chase his wayward brother. John's stint in the Marines had left him capable of handling a vast array of weaponry and explosives, but after 3 years he still found it difficult to manage one toddler. Sensing the situation was rapidly deteriorating, Tom made his excuses and left with a hurried promise to take good care of John's eldest. Gail helped John, and the two adults barely managed to maneuver Sam into the back seat of the car. Sam proceeded to wail at the top of his lungs. John shook his head sadly. "But I'm not a horrible person for doing this, right?" Gail grinned in sympathy. "Good luck." Sam didn't stop crying until he had passed out from exhaustion later that night. John let him sleep in his clothes, as he was afraid undressing him would start the screaming again. Tom found Dean by the campsite. The Winchester boy had his tent set, and Tom was thrilled to see it was done properly. "Hey, Dean," he called. "Why don't you come with me and we'll find the others? I want to show you guys around the site before it gets too dark, okay?" Dean just shrugged and fell in behind him. Tom was relieved. This was going to be a piece of cake. It was an hour or so before Tom realized Dean was not talking. Grunts and monosyllables were the best he could get. When he peeked in the tent later, Dean was sobbing into his sleeping bag. Damn it, Tom thought. We're going to have to work on bringing him out. Day 2. Tom and Dean. The next morning, Tom took the group down to the lake for swimming. He watched Dean carefully. The Winchester boy was still not good in Tom's estimation. He was talking more, but only in direct response to others. Tom was encouraged by the fact that Dean was obviously making the others include Mark's younger brother in the proceedings. Quieter than most, Tom thought, but he might naturally be shy. Tom had some more traditional scouting exercises planned, basic tracking, knots, and whittling. Dean was a natural tracker and more than happy to show others. He began talking and taking the lead. By the time they worked through lunch and were learning knots, a group had crowded around the boy. Tom was more than happy to allow Dean to expand the class. The boys were quiet and hanging on nearly every word. "What kind is that?" Tom asked. The knot looked too complex for a 7-year-old. But Dean could reproduce it without hesitation, so he couldn't just be making them up. Dean shrugged in response. "I don't know the name. My dad taught me." A distinct pride entered his voice. He was in the Marines. "Marines, huh?" Tom tried to sound suitably impressed. That would explain the tracking skills as well. First time at camp, but not his first time camping, I'll bet. "Did he teach you how to carve as well?" Dean's eyes positively lit up. "Yes, sir. Knife safety, too." "Well, why don't you come help me and Mark teach the others?" Both boys scrambled to the table, and Tom grinned. Mark was a seasoned pro for the camp, and the boys looked to him as a senior. He and Dean seemed to have some sort of partnership as leaders of this year's group. Dean deferred to Mark on matters of etiquette and rank, and Mark deferred to Dean in matters of execution and enforcement. Tom wished every camp would run so smoothly. He monitored the class for a while and made sure that no one was in danger of cutting themselves with the blunted knives and went to grab a cup of coffee. He was gone for less than 15 minutes. The lodge was transformed when he got back. There were rowdy boys with spears, sharpened spears, running everywhere. Tom's stunned gaze fell on the table where he'd left them all. Son of a bitch! He had them whittle sharper tools! That little shit! Knife safety my ass! Hey! Tom yelled. All activity immediately ceased. Tom gathered his thoughts. Everyone to the lake for swimming! A mass stampede began. No, wait! No swimming with spears! He chased after his easy group. By dusk, order was restored. The spears were all part of a massive bonfire. Dean seemed to know quite a bit about fire safety and made Tom dig an extra pit and deepen the main pit, just in case. After the experience with the spears, Tom shuddered to think what had occurred to make someone teach such caution. He looked over at the older boys playing cards and did a quick nose count. At least they were all still here. He started to turn back to the younger boys when the image hit his brain. Not cards. They're playing poker. Hey! Tom walked over. All the boys looked up expectantly. What are you doing? Several looks were shared, which were obviously, is this a trick question? We're playing poker? Offered Mark. You can't play poker! Dean looked truly and honestly baffled. Why not? Tom felt his control slipping away. Camp rules. No gambling. There was some grumbling, but they all stopped and began making s'mores with the younger boys. He caught a couple of glares at Dean and Mark, and Dean himself continued to throw baffled stares at Tom himself. But otherwise the rest of the evening was without incident. Tom chuckled as he remembered that he had been worried about dragging Dean out of his shell. Well, at least that concern was over. But when he made his rounds that night, he heard crying from Dean's tent again. Damn it. He risked a peek inside. Dean was sleeping on a bed of pillows. Pillows belonging to the others. Where did you get all those pillows? Tom asked, forgetting that he didn't want Dean to know he'd caught him crying. Dean covered, wiping his eyes by pretending to rub sleep out of them. Won them? Tom belatedly realized that he hadn't made them return any winnings from the poker. He started to rectify the oversight, but the look on Dean's face made his chest constrict. The boy looked well and truly miserable. Tom's face softened. A night without pillows won't hurt anyone. Maybe it'll teach them not to gamble. He can return them tomorrow. Good night, Dean. He got a small smile. Good night, sir. Day 3. John and Sam. Since they had left Dean at camp, Sam had spent every waking moment crying or staring at John. Most of the stares were woeful. When they became slightly more baleful, John would call him on it and make him stop. But today there was a new twist. When John had woken up, Sam was curled up tight next to him. His son was peaceful as a lamb. He was sucking his thumb again, and the staring and the silent treatment towards his father continued. But now, instead of despair or anger, Sam's 3-year-old countenance was deep in thought. It scared John more than anything he had ever seen. Day 3. Tom and Dean. They had discovered the girls' camp next door. It was inevitable. Every year the same thing happened. Tom's wife, Debbie, called over to the lodge. "Brace yourself," she chirped. "A couple of girls just stumbled across your gang at the lake." Tom groaned. "Dean Winchester. Figures." "Who?" "New kid. He's one of those sneaky ones that is quiet and homesick, but then turns out to be colorful in the end. He taught the others how to whittle spears and won their pillows off them at poker." Debbie choked with laughter. "Holy hell! Sounds like you're having fun. Are you laughing at me?" "Of course not, honey. You want me to take some of the older boys in my group swimming? They won't be so rowdy with girls glaring at them." A loving and mature husband would try to warn her what she was getting into. To hell with it. I'm just loving." "That sounds like a good idea, actually." Day 3. Debbie and Dean. 2 hours later, Debbie was making a mental list of things to do before letting Tom know she was divorcing him. The colorful boy, Dean, had somehow organized an old-fashioned panty raid on the girls' camp. She had had to call in reinforcements to get the hysterical girl settled and all clothing back to the correct owner. Now she could not find her own daughter, Becky, or Dean. She made her way to call Tom's lodge when she heard Becky's voice. "That can't be right. You're taller than me." "Nah, you just tilt up and I lean down." Debbie headed to them. As she got closer, she heard Becky saying, "Okay, 1, 2, 3, go! Becky rounded the corner. "That boy was kissing her baby!" Debbie grabbed his ear and yanked him off Becky. Dean let out a startled yelp and clutched her arm. Becky let out a horrified screech and took off running towards the camp. "You are grounded, young lady, do you hear me?" Debbie called after her. "And you wait until your father finds out." Within 10 minutes, Debbie was frog-marching the sex-crazed, daughter-corrupting delinquent back to the boys' camp. She had been taking the opportunity to lecture him on proper decorum and non-daughter-corrupting activities, which would be far more appropriate. "She kissed me," Dean protested. The fair and logical portion of Debbie's mind replayed the last thing she had heard her daughter saying. The enraged mother portion of her mind told the fair and logical one to shut up. But a new approach might be needed. "Didn't your mother ever teach you how to behave?" She trailed off at the absolute coldness that suddenly washed over Dean. "I don't have one," he said flatly. "She was murdered when I was 4. Debbie came to a complete halt and abruptly let him go. Holy shit. There's no way Tom knew about this. Debbie reached out and smoothed the back of Dean's clothes. He flinched slightly from her, but he didn't run away. Debbie didn't quite know what to do. She didn't want him to close up again, but he seemed too fragile to talk more about it. Moving away from the death, she remembered what Tom had said about being homesick. "So, it's just you and your dad now?" Dean nodded and moved a little closer. "And Sammy. He's only 3. They need me. I need to go home." "Which is probably the exact reason your father wanted you to go to camp." "Oh, wow." "You are going to go home in a couple of days, sweetie. You'll see. Everything will be fine." Dean just started walking back to camp. Debbie sighed and followed him. "Do you want to go back to the lodge? They're making popcorn," she asked. Dean shook his head. "I'm tired." "Drained is more like it." "You sleeping okay?" Another headshake was the answer, and she could see him withdrawing. She was definitely not going to get any more from him. "Well, why don't you turn in a little early tonight?" Dean nodded, and they headed to the tents. Debbie was a little surprised at the number of pillows, but it probably was more comfortable. She gave him some privacy while he got into bed and then poked her head in. "All set." Dean's eyelids were drooping already. "Night, sir." "Ma'am." She smiled. Going into the tent, she reached out and tucked him in. That actually got a smile. She smoothed his hair back and gave him a kiss on the forehead. "Good night, sweetie." She made her way back to the lodge and surprised Tom with a quick kiss and a long hug. "Hey," he whispered into her hair, "what's all this?" "I love you," she whispered back. "I love you too," he said as he squeezed her. She broke away. "I had to bring Dean Winchester back early. He's in his tent." "Oh God, now what did he do?" Debbie practically growled. "You leave that poor boy alone. He's just homesick and misses his family. God, I can't imagine what they've been through." Tom was completely lost. "What?" Debbie just shook her head. "Nothing. Never mind." Tom cautiously tried again. "So, why did you have to bring him back early?" Debbie answered as she was going out the door. "I caught him kissing Becky." Tom began spluttering. "Wait, what? When did... Becky? He kissed my daughter?" Debbie spun around and kept walking backwards. She had a huge grin on her face, and she merrily called back, "I kissed him goodnight, too." Tom made his way to the tents to give Dean a piece of his mind. He was stopped by the all-too-familiar sounds of crying. Later that night, Dean finally seemed to have collapsed from exhaustion and was sound asleep. Day 4. John and Sam. The phone ringing woke John up. The motel door was wide open. Ignoring the phone, John raced from the motel room, yelling for his son. "Sammy!" The motel day manager ran out of the office. "Here! He's fine! He's in the diner!" John barreled past the man, trying to explain. "We were just calling you." Sam was in one of the motel's diner booths, systematically pouring out their salt shakers onto the table. John walked up and scooped up his errant son in one motion. Sam squealed and determinedly rubbed salt into John's face. "What the f—" spluttered John. "Sammy, stop that! It stinks!" He began to lose his grip, and Sam was fighting him. "Stop that!" "No!" was the stubborn response. "Need Dean! Get! Gimme! Bad Daddy!" John grew increasingly aware of the amused hotel staff. "I sent his brother to summer camp," he explained. "You heartless bastard," laughed the manager. "That seems to be the general consensus," John agreed. "Need salt," Sam offered. "What the hell?" "Why do you need salt, Sammy?" John asked, genuinely bewildered. "Bad Daddy, get Dean!" Sam shouted and threw more salt at John. The manager left, doubled over with laughter. John scooped Sam up, and over the wailing protests, marched back to their room. He unceremoniously dumped his youngest son to the bed and slammed the door. The noise startled Sam and mercifully stopped his crying. John fell into a chair. Sam sat up on the bed and glared at his father. John was too overwhelmed to correct it. First things first, he decided. "Sammy, how did you get out?" The motel door deadbolted with a key on both sides. It was one of the reasons John had chosen the motel. The glare intensified, so John tried another tactic. "That was real clever, Sammy. How did you do it? Was Daddy bad? Was the door unlocked?" A wave of malicious pride transformed Sam's face. With a sly look at the dresser, Sam said, "Open it." "Opened it?" John asked while getting up and moving to the dresser. He looked down, and his blood ran cold. His lockpick kit was spread haphazardly across the dresser. He hadn't even known that Sam understood what a lockpick was. Sam could not have possibly. "You picked the lock?" he heard his voice rise. "No, bad! You do not pick locks to run away from Daddy!" He hadn't gotten past no when Sam started yelling back. "Gotta go get Dee now! Go! Go! Go, 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 go!" The decibel level earned them a pounding on the wall from the neighbors. Sam threw another temper tantrum. "Stop that!" John yelled as he grabbed the lamp. He was struck in the head with a pillow. "Sammy, I'm serious! Behave!" Sam collapsed into tears and flung himself across the bed, kicking and punching at the mattress. "What deemed?" Sam wailed. John sighed. It was going to be a long day. Day 4. Tom and Dean. The cooking class was a rousing success. The results were edible. No weaponry was created or used. Nothing was gambled away. Dean stayed where Tom could see him at all times. Dean seemed genuinely in awe of cooking. "Rock salt makes ice cream?" "Did you think it was just for clearing snow off roads?" Tom asked. Dean gave him a startled and oddly guarded look and went back to cooking. The daily outing to the lake for a swim came up with no weaponry, gambling, or other inappropriate behaviors either. Tom felt himself relaxing. The boys were even singing on the way back from the lake. Then he sighed. He should have known better. Bobby, the 6-year-old, had fallen behind and was now close enough for Tom to hear what he was singing. "Ain't no doubt about it, we were doubly blessed, 'cause we were barely 17 and we were barely dressed." Tom didn't have the energy anymore. "Dean," he called out. Dean turned around and looked questioningly back. "Stop teaching them meatloaf lyrics, please," Tom asked. Another baffled look was his only response. Day 4, John and Sam. He had ordered room service because he was afraid to take Sam to the diner like this. The two had reached an uneasy truce. As long as John made no move to help him, Sam sat in the chair and fed himself. John winced at the mess he was creating. Sam finally reached for the salt and deliberately started shaking it as if to fling salt at his father.
"Stop that! God damn it, Sammy! Look at the mess!"
"Bad Daddy!"
John couldn't take it anymore. "Sammy, Sammy, talk to me, baby. What's wrong? Why am I a bad daddy?" Tears welled up in Sam's eyes.
"Bad Daddy! I want good Daddy back! Gimme good Daddy! We go get Dean!"
John processed it for a moment. Bad. Salt. Want good Daddy. Want good Daddy back.
"Oh, for Christ's sake, Sammy! I'm not possessed because I left your brother at camp!"
And then the wailing started. Day 4. Tom and Dean. "And what you got them teeth for?" gasped the hunter as he turned to run away. "To eat you up like you was gonna eat me!" screamed Rawhead, with his yellow eyes gleaming. And after that night, no one saw the lazy hunter again. Sometimes they thought they saw someone wearing his clothes and riding his horse. But when they got closer, they could see the raccoon tail in the moonlight. Dean finished his story with a subtle whisper. Tom didn't know what to say. Campfire stories were supposed to be scary, not trauma-inducing. From the vacant, terrified looks, there were several boys who were going to have nightmares. "Well, that was a vivid story, Dean," Tom managed to squeak out. "Where did you hear that?" "Daddy knows all kinds of cool stories," was Dean's proud response. Tom gave up. His offer to open the lodge for sleeping was taken up by half the boys. He stayed with them all by the fireplace, making sure they were all in their sleeping bags before settling in the chair. The door opened behind him, and he turned to meet the latecomer. Rawhead's yellow eyes gleamed as his jaws descended to cut off Tom's screams. Tom woke with a start. "Next year, we aren't having bonfire night." Day 5. Tom and Dean. Dean shook Tom awake. "You have to get out!" "What?" Tom mumbled. "Fire!" Dean shouted. Running from Tom, Dean woke up the others. Mark appeared and began helping. Tom found himself and the boys herded outside before he could process what was happening. "The lodge is on fire!" The fire appeared to be in the back, towards the kitchen and utility room, but it was rapidly spreading. Tom shook the sleep from his mind and threw himself into action. Thank God for drills and planning. The fire plan was a success. Tom tried to take comfort in that fact as he surveyed the damage with the firemen. The fire had started in the electric box. A crowd of boys were gathered around as the chief explained it to Tom.
"As you can see, this has been spliced. Someone tried to feed off the main line," the chief was saying.
"Dean did it!"
Tom and the chief turned startled gazes to the boys. The group was rapidly dispersing, and Dean and another boy, Neil, were being left behind. Dean was gaping at Neil.
"You little shit!" Dean growled at the other boy.
Neil ran over to a shocked Tom.
"He did it! He was trying to get electricity for the tents." "I got the electricity from my tent. You spliced the main line. You can't do that," Dean shouted.
He lunged for Neil. Tom and the chief moved quickly between them. Tom dragged Neil off. The chief was holding Dean with one arm and looked up at the burnt-out lodge.
"Son of a bitch," he said. "Yep, look there. You can see where the other feeds came off the line."
He looked down at Dean. "Do you know how much juice that takes?" Dean started to respond, but obviously thought better of it. Tom tried to get a now sobbing Neil under control and listened to Dean at the same time. The chief was trying logic. Tom could only assume the man had no children of his own.
"You should be more careful there, partner. You keep doing things like that, you'll end up arrested for arson. The cops would take you from here and back to your folks."
Tom could tell from the sudden thoughtful gaze Dean bestowed on the chief that he had better intervene.
"You both, come here, now!"
Dean glared at Neil, but made no attempts to attack the other boy again. Tom marched them around the front and into the lodge.
"I want you both to look. See what you did?"
Tom ordered as he pushed them through the busted door. The walls were caked with soot. Pictures from previous camps and various other collectibles were ruined. Water was everywhere. The ceiling had been ripped open and shredded as the firefighters had made sure the blaze was contained. Neil was crying, and Dean was pale and trembling. Tom hated to do it, but he was hoping to make a strong impression. Better now than later when someone could get hurt. Day 5. John and Sam. Every child-rearing book Mary had made John read before Dean was born told John that having a routine was critical at the toddler stage.
Well, I've got a routine, all right, John thought grimly. Escape, chase, evade, capture, accuse, repeat. He had not expected a 3-year-old to be so determined. After the previous day's activities, John moved the lockpicks to the trunk. He woke in the morning to discover that Sam had confiscated one. His youngest fleeing form was the first thing his eyes had locked on. John had caught up with him in the hall that first time easily and brought him back to the room. For the rest of the day, John began to wonder if all toddlers were capable of teleportation, or if Sam was especially gifted. It felt like every time John blinked, Sam was out of the room. Every time, John found him with complete strangers. Sam would blatantly lie and tell people John was not his father. 2 nights with no sleep had not improved John's looks. Most people tended to believe the sweet and adorably innocent looks Sam bestowed on them, more than John's aggravated demands. The manager had had to vouch for John 3 times. The manager didn't look as amused as he had earlier. Day 5. Tom and Dean. Later that afternoon, as the firefighters put out the latest fire, this one in Neil's tent, Tom wondered what precisely he had done to make God hate him so. The chief came over to commiserate. He was telling Tom how this fire was contained, but Tom could only look over to the children lined up by the police cars to contact their parents to pick them up. It was the first time the camp had ever been forced to close early, and it had been on his watch. The chief was saying something about a ditch that made no sense. "What ditch?" Tom asked. The chief was startled. "I was saying that this would have been much worse if you hadn't had them dig fire ditches all around their tents. I'd be happy to speak to your bosses." The chief trailed off as Tom suddenly stood up and moved to the tents. Sure enough, each tent had a ditch like the one he had shown the boys to make around the bonfire. In fact, it was deeper than the ones he had made. "Just in case," Dean's voice floated through his mind. Neil's tent. Neil, the snitch's tent. The only one to catch fire. And it caught fire when no one was around. It caught fire after a ditch had been dug to prevent fire from spreading. Dean. "No," his mind tried to reason. "Why would..." Tom looked over at the homesick boy, who was for the first time beaming with joy as he waited for the phone. Tom was never quite clear what happened next. He only had fuzzy recollections of Dean's startled face as Tom physically picked him up into the air and shook him. He also thought he remembered a cop's voice telling him to put Dean down, but he was never quite certain. Day 5. John and Sam. Sam's lockpicking skills now extended to basic hot wiring. John could not tell what the hell he had done to the phone. The casing came off at the touch, and it was completely inoperable. Sam was perched on the bed, glaring at his bad daddy. John glared right back. "Do you know how much I had to put down for a security deposit?" He was startled by the knock on the door, and was nervous to find the motel manager at the door. "Sure enough, there's someone on the phone," was the first thing the man said. "Really?" John bluffed. "I hadn't had a reason to try it." A man in a cheap suit was standing to the side. "John Winchester?" he asked. "Yeah," John answered back warily. "My name is Ed Coopersmith, Mr. Winchester. I've been assigned by the courts to your son, Dean. We need to talk." "I just wanted him to go to summer camp like the other kids." John just sighed. "Come on in." Day 5. Father and sons. Sam was back to normal again, and talking non-stop to the public defender. "Lawyer make Daddy go get Dean? Go get Dean now?" Ed was charmed. "That's right. Lawyers make parents go and get their kids from jail," he chuckled. Sam bestowed a full, wide-eyed adoration on him. "I like lawyers." "That's good," John thought wryly. You and Dean stay on course, and you'll be meeting lots of them.
After a briefing on his eldest child's activities, John was packing up their gear. It was time to move. Since his wife's death, John had begun to believe in signs. Lockpicking and arson were signs. Maybe he'd take up that preacher's offer of a place to stay. Jim, that was his name. Pastor Jim might be able to help with the boys through the next school year. Sam wanted to ride with the lawyer, and John was too exhausted to care. They just moved the car seat. At the station, the local cops didn't give them any trouble. Seemed Dean was considered more of an amusement than a threat. John caught a bit of the conversation and reacted to Tom's name.
Tom the counselor? He's here?
Ed gave him some assessing looks.
Now, it's being handled, but, there was an altercation between your son and one of the staff members.
Oh, God, John moaned.
He could see it too clearly. That bright, optimistic man and Dean. He should have known. He opened up his wallet.
What's the bail on Tom?
Dean was brought out. John knew this not because he saw him, but because Sam was suddenly 20 feet down the hall. There was an echoing Doppler effect of Dean! Resounding through the corridor. Cops were hastily removing themselves from the line of fire. Sam collided with his brother, who scooped him up without breaking stride.
Hi, Sammy.
Hi, said Sam as he put his head on his brother's shoulders and slumped in his arms. Dean made his way to his father. The look in his son's eyes kept John's recriminations silent.
He looks like he hasn't slept any more than I have. What the hell went on at that place?
Hey, sport, John said softly. He was relieved that the tension was visibly leaving Dean. Go get your brother in the car while I wrap up here.
Yes, sir, Dean whispered back. What's wrong with him?
What?
Why is he so tired?
Dean clarified, and John realized with a shock that Sam was fast asleep in his brother's arms. John's throat constricted. He just shook his head and sent him out with a gesture. Dean left. 20 minutes later, John had the paperwork done and Sam's car seat from Ed's car. He opened the back door of the Impala. Both boys were sound asleep with peaceful and serene smiles on their faces. John stared at the sight. Merry sons, happy and safe. It was his only source of happiness in life anymore. Hunting and revenge were satisfying, but the sight in front of him was the only thing that could truly bring him to his knees. Dean stirred. He shook Sam.
Gotta go in your seat, Sammy.
Sam mumbled something as John reached in.
Come on, boys, he whispered. Let's go home.
We are home, they responded in unison. And for the first time since Mary's death, John Winchester cried.
You are on the road, must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh.
that your elders grew by. And so please help them with your youth. They see the truth before they can die.
Teach your parents well, their children's hell will slowly go by. And feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh, and know they love you.
This has been Summer Camp by Giggling Cat. To comment on the story, please go to gigglingcat.livejournal.com. To comment on the podfic, please go to elsewherekelse.livejournal.com. Thank you for listening.